Welcome to the Legal Nurse Podcast, where you'll get tips to expand your legal nurse consulting skills. Every week, you'll hear from experts from within and outside the legal nurse consulting business. They'll share their knowledge to help you grow. Your show is moderated by Pat Iyer, a legal nurse consultant with over 30 years' experience. So join our community, sit back, relax, and get ready to learn. Here's your host, Pat Iyer.
Hi, this is Pat Iyer with Legal Nurse Podcast, and today we're going to be talking about a topic that affects everyone who has a website and has aspirations of attracting attorneys to your website. And if you don't have a website, I'm hoping by the end of the conversation today with my guest that you will be thinking in terms of building a strong website so that you can let attorneys know about your services and get more business. I have with me a man who has his master's in business administration and 20 years of experience in the field of SEO, which stands for search engine optimization, and he's got experience with digital marketing. He helps to increase online exposure to generate more leads and sales. My guest is Rex Camposagrado, and he is coming to us today to talk about how you can improve your digital marketing platform. Welcome to the show, Rex.
I'm glad to be here.
Thank you. Well, so first of all, excuse me for a minute. What is SEO? For people who may have heard the initials, I've just explained what they stand for. What does that mean in a digital marketing platform?
SEO, or search engine optimization, is organic listings in the search engines. They're natural listings like in Google or Bing or Yahoo, where they're listed below the paid ads or below the maps on a search page. Organic SEO traffic is very important because 94% of people do a search on Google when they're looking up products and services. And out of that 90%, or 94%, 73% go to organic listings, 10% go to paid ads, 5% go to social media to find what they're looking for. But generally, organic listings are the most dominant traffic source. Not only is it important to show up in search engines, but it's also free clicks compared to paid ads. Paid ads can get costly, whereas with organic SEO traffic, they're basically free clicks. So it's less expensive and it has a bigger ROI, or return on investment.
So then when we're looking at a search engine result, say we've put in, or an attorney has put in, legal nurse consultant, there may be some people who are advertising at the top of the page, and every time somebody clicks on that ad, it costs money to the person who put the ad, as opposed to all the listings below, which are what you're identifying as organic traffic, that are listings based on what? Tell us, how does somebody get into, for example, that section of the website, the search engine listing, those results? How do you get to that top section that's right below the ads if you're not paying any money for that organic spot?
You have to optimize your website, not only the text on your website, the images on your website. You also have to do the technical aspects on your website. There's background code of your website that you have to optimize. There's also a form of off-page SEO. It's called link building. Link building is basically like high school. The more friends you have in high school, the more popular you'll be. It's the same thing. The more links that you have pointing to your site, the higher you're going to rank in Google. So it's a combination of what you have, the content you have on your website. It's nice to have original content, because if you have duplicated content compared to other sites, Google's not going to know who to rank higher. So you really want original content. You want a lot of links pointing to your site, relevant links. And you want your back end of the code to be seamless. So when Google crawls the page, it's fast, it's mobile friendly, and it'll tell them it's a quality site to rank it higher into the search engines.
Wow, you shared a lot of good points in that answer. And let me go back to a couple of them. When you mentioned not having duplicated content, one of the issues that legal nurse consultants struggle with is that they may have a listing of their services. And many of them copy that listing of services from the educational materials that they received when they were going through their training program. And it's often word for word from one site to another site, because they were told, well, in order for you to explain to attorneys what you do, you should list your services. So they list them in the same order using the same words. Everything on that page may be identical to another legal nurse consultant's website. Is that what you mean by duplicate content?
That's correct. If you can't do original content, for example, a lot of websites post press releases that are the same across hundreds of other websites, you really need to cite the original source. So you can cite the original source with OnPage by putting the link within your content to the original source to tell Google that you're getting it from that link, mm-hmm. from that other webpage. And you can also go into the back end. You could add something called a canonical tag. And that's a meta tag that has the link to the original content. So you're not plagiarizing. So it's basically like in school, you're citing your source. So Google accepts that if you cite your source on your site and also on the back end of your site for the web page that you're, you know, copying the content from.
Oh, that's a great point. And I'm sure that most people who are listening are saying a canonical site, a canonical link. What does that mean? How would I know anything about it? Is that something that a webmaster should be able to help a person with?
Yeah. It's on the back end of a website. I mean, if you're not familiar with coding, it depends on how your website's built, whether it's HTML, whether it's PHP, if it's in a CMS. A webmaster can add canonical tags in the back end.
And just for the sake of the transcriptionist, can you spell canonical for her and for our listeners?
I'm not very good at spelling, but I'll give my best shot.
Okay.
It's C-A-N-O-N-D-I-A-L, canonical.
Okay. Well, we'll check it and make sure that it's correct in the transcript. It's not a term that I have heard either, which is why I wanted to make sure that I know so that I'm clear for our listeners. You mentioned something else that I think is important when you talked about a website being mobile friendly and loading quickly. And those are really two pieces of efficient websites. What do you mean by mobile friendly?
Mobile friendly is the same thing as user friendly. If a visitor comes to your site and they only see a portion of the screen and they have to scroll to the right, scroll down. The images or the text is too small to read on mobile. The likelihood of them leaving or bouncing off the site within first 6 seconds is high.
Mm-hmm.
So if your website is not mobile friendly, where it's not, it doesn't look good on mobile devices or tablets, it's going to hurt not only the visitors coming to the site, but Google also ranks your website based on their algorithm. It's called the Google Mobile Friendly algorithm. Google's algorithms are really, really starting to focus on user experience. So if there's a bad user experience on your website, Google's going to penalize you for it.
Mm-hmm.
And they can understand if your website is mobile friendly or not.
And then tell us about the images on your website in terms of how they affect page loading.
The images If you don't have a programmer or webmaster, they need to be reduced. The images can slow down your website. So in order to increase the page load speed, you have to compress the images. And that's something, like I said, a webmaster or a programmer can do. Compress the images so that when Google crawls it, it doesn't stop and slow it down. You can also host the images on a separate site where it pulls the images from another site to speed the site up. That helps with, especially when you have a large image, where it's, even if you compress it, the file size is still too big. So it's good to put it off on a different website like Google Tag Manager or another image hosting site, Amazon, and then it pulls from there the image instead of crawling your website and having it stop.
And just for clarification purposes, when you say Amazon, you're talking about Amazon Web Services as opposed to Amazon.com, which is the commerce part of Amazon.
That's correct. Amazon has a lot of, sub sites, and Amazon Web Services is one of them. It's meant for programmers and developers.
And it looks like it was written by programmers and developers. It's one of the most geeky sites that I've ever been involved in. We store our podcast recordings there, our transcripts, our webinar files, our course files, so that all those large files don't end up taking up enormous amount of room on our website and then slowing it down.
That's good. That's good that you do that.
I have a webmaster who's working actually right now on increasing the speed of loading my legalnursebusiness.com site because it has so many images that were so large that it made the site very slow. And with his magic, he has reduced the image size by something like 65% in the last week. So this is a topic I'm thinking about right now.
Well, there's also the images, but there's also JavaScript. That's JavaScript code that can slow down your site. I mentioned Google Tag Manager. You can put, just like the images, you can put the JavaScript into Google Tag Manager so it pulls from that site into yours to make your site faster. I don't know if I'm getting too technical, but that's just another way of speeding up your site.
Well, I think what you're pointing out, Rex, is that there are a number of legal nurse consultants who try to do this on their own, and there are some seductive packages that say, oh, it's easy to put together a website. You just use this template. It'll be done in an evening. And sometimes they're very easy to work with, but the question always is this a good solution for somebody who perhaps is missing things because of not knowing security, for example, or image size or tags or the links that you're talking about. I think sometimes the simple approach can be so tempting that it also can leave the legal nurse consultant open for issues with a website that an experienced webmaster would look at and say, oh, wait a minute. As happened to one of the coaching clients that I had who hired somebody to put together her website, he didn't put any security in place. And she woke up one day and her website was displaying child pornography videos.
Oh boy.
It was not good. It was an expensive lesson. The webmaster I was using at the time helped her take care of it and get those videos off, but it was a horrible experience for her.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways to protect your site by installing security plugins. Mm-hmm. You can sign up for SiteLock, which helps. Mm-hmm. There's a fee to do that. You always have to have your site secure with HTTPS, mm-hmm. Meaning a secured second layer. There's additional cost to do that. It's very, very, the cost isn't very high to be HTTPS. Mm-hmm. That makes it secure. That makes it show a lock next to your URL in the browser.
Yes.
Yeah, so there's different ways that you can secure your site so it doesn't have a malicious attack.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about optimization of the website. You mentioned that earlier in terms of incorporating SEO into a website. Let's say a legal nurse consultant is designing a page and wants to optimize for a search term of legal nurse consultant in St. Louis, for example. What are some tips that you can share with us about how we can focus on SEO in our website?
With the content, I know you have original content, but I recommend maybe blogging or creating other pages. Within your content, you have to tell Google what the page is about. Just like a chapter in a book, you have to have a title, you have to have a subheadline, you have to have chapters, you have to have the keyword in your content. So with on-page SEO, that's the same thing. There's something called a title tag. A title tag is what shows up in your browser tab that the words are. And also, it's also what shows up in Google, mm-hmm. in the Google listings. So you have to have the keyword in the title tag. You could have it in the meta description, that helps too. Not so much a ranking factor, but it is sort of a ranking factor because it's like a sales pitch. If you don't have a well-written meta description, it might show dot, dot, dot. It might cut off in the middle of a sentence. Mm-hmm. People tend to click on a listing that is readable and not just jumbled words that Google picked. So that helps. As far as the on-page, like I said, you have to have the keyword in the heading of your page. If there's subheadings, you should have the keyword in the subheadings. As far as the body of the content, Google crawls the body of your content to see what the content's about. So you have to have the keywords in the body of the content. And there's a ratio. There are tools to check the ratio of the keyword density of how many times a keyword is put into the content. Because if you over-optimize the keyword and just start peppering it in 12, 15 different times, that Google is going to consider that spammy. So keyword density is, for Google, they really like 1 to 3% of the content, or 3% keyword density ratio into your content. And like I said, there's tools to figure that out. There's a calculation on how to do it, but it's easier just to put your content into one of the tools to check to see how many times or what the keyword density ratio is. You don't want to overdo it, or else, like I said, Google will consider it spammy. You also want to put the keyword into your images. So name the image with the keyword in the file name. And there's also something called alt text. That's what it's like, a caption or it's in the code. It's alt equals and then quotes. You need to put like a sentence describing the image. It's really meant for visually impaired. When they view a website, it'll read what that image is about. So you really need to have that keyword describing the image with the key, like I said, with that keyword in that alt text. And you can do that with, on-page SEO.
Blogging is an excellent way to bring visitors to your website. New content attracts search engines. You may be wondering how to start. Deborah Lloyd and I have the answers for you in a free webinar we created called Blogging for Biz. What will you learn from this free webinar? Find out exactly why you can get more business with blogging. More traffic converts into qualified leads and increased profits. Learn how you can quickly maximize the benefits of blogging to improve credibility, confirm your authority, and grow your business fast. And discover the secrets of successful blogging, the what, the why, and the how, and much, much more. Get the link for this program at the show notes on podcast.legalnursebusiness.com. I've been curious about that last piece that you just mentioned with the alt tags. For example, if I have a picture on a blog that shows a man and a woman looking at a document, if I used the term or the alt tag as man and woman looking at page, if I wanted to get the keyword in for legal nurse consultant, could I say attorney and legal nurse consultant looking at a page as my alt tag?
You can, you can put that into the alt text. If they're looking at a legal nursing document, you can put man and woman looking at legal nursing document. There's one thing about Google. There's a stat that showed that when people look up a product or a service, 10% of them go to Google Images. Just because, I don't know. It's more with products, but there is that chance that people might go to Google Images to look for maybe a picture of legal nursing. You know, they want to see faces, maybe. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it's always, besides that, it's you should optimize your images for Google.
Okay. And I know you talked about the risks of over-optimizing and being considered as a spammy site. An example of that, and let me know if I'm correct, is to write a sentence like, if you want a legal nurse consultant in Missouri, please contact me because I am the best legal nurse consultant in Missouri and I work with attorneys as a legal nurse consultant in Missouri. So if you're looking for a legal nurse consultant in Missouri, call me. How did I do? Is that over-optimized?
Well, yeah, Google's pretty smart. Their technology is pretty smart. It's like there's a website called Grammarly, so it'll tell you that your sentence structures are not well written. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with Google. They'll understand that the sentences are not well written. So if you do it that way, you're not going to rank high because it's not quality content. You're just trying to stuff keywords. So it's you can write it in a way where it's not so long. Like that, break up your sentences. But it's just like that website I talked about, Grammarly, where it'll check for sentence structures and, you know, of course, spelling and everything like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good course. I know that you've mentioned before about what Google is looking for, and I know that Google has changed its approach over the years and released new updates to say, yes, this thing that you used to do is no longer acceptable. Now we recommend that you do this new thing. Can you give us an explanation as to why Google keeps changing their approach about what they want to see in websites in order to be able to rank well?
Google's always looking to increase the quality of their searches to make it more relevant. From what I heard, they meet every Friday to go over ideas on how to change the algorithm, to tweak it. Google changes their algorithm 500 to 600 times a year, but I believe in 2016, they changed it 1,200 times that year. They do that because they want, like I said, they want to improve the quality of the site, but there's also a thing called black hat SEO. Don't be discouraged. I'm wearing a black hat. I'm a white hat SEO person. But black hat SEO is basically spamming Google guidelines. They don't follow Google guidelines. They're able to rank for a short time. A lot of agencies, you should be aware of some agencies who rank you quickly, like within a week or two. That's very dangerous because once Google catches you spamming like that, blatantly spamming like that, they can penalize you, but they can also ban your website.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of fly-by-night websites that do black hat SEO. For example, selling Viagra or CBD products or something to make a quick buck. And they have developers and web designers and programmers. So if Google bans their website, they just build another one and do it all over again. So Google fine-tunes their algorithms to prevent black hat SEO people from getting into their listings. So that's why they change it so often.
I can remember getting emails, not so much anymore, but I can remember getting emails in the past saying, well, we can get you onto the number one page of Google. We can rank your site and get you on the first page, and all you have to do is to pay us X number of dollars, and we guarantee it. Is that going to be a quality listing if somebody were to follow that type of solicitation?
There's a lot of agencies out there that are low cost. They can get you ranked on the first page of Google, but it depends on how they do it. Because if you sign up for Google My Business, it gives you a listing and it puts you in Google Maps. A lot of agencies do that. They just sign you up for Google My Business. You show up on Google Maps and they say, hey, you're on the first page of Google. But it's in the Google My Maps section. It's not in the organic listings. Right. So a lot of $99 a month agencies, that's what they do. A lot of robocalls that a lot of people get that say that your website is in trouble, there's something wrong with it, you know. We can help you increase your Google listings. Basically, what they're going to do is just get you into Google Maps. Also, there's a lot of agencies out there that are out for a quick buck. There's a lot of flashy salesmen who give flashy presentations, and they just want to gain a client. After like 3 to 6 months, you don't see any results. You lose, they lose clients, but they are able to replace them with new clients. So they're just, you know, sometimes you can't trust them if they don't produce results. They're just there to take your money. Yes, they can get you into Google My Maps or Google Maps, but that's not very hard to do. There's a lot of agencies that don't go into technical SEO. Like I said, you need to optimize the images. You need to look at the back end to increase page load speeds. There's some agencies that just ask for your URL and that's it. And it's like, how are you supposed to optimize the site to get higher listings if they don't ask you for login credentials? They don't ask you for your Google Analytics to monitor the progress of your site. So there's a lot of agencies, many agencies that do that. They just ask for the link to your website and then you pay them, and 3 to 6 months later, you're not satisfied and, you know, you end your contract, but they got your money.
Yes. You know, you just brought up a good point that's fresh on my mind about giving people access to the back of your website to be able to get inside and change that content, because one of the people I know hired a person in another country who was putting her website together and was not making it live. So she took it over last weekend. And when she went into the back of the site, he had arranged it so that if anybody bought something in her shopping cart, the money went into his PayPal account instead of hers.
Oh, wow. That's bad.
I had never heard of that happening. She was horrified that he had set it up that way. And luckily, she knew how to check for that. But it really made me concerned because it never occurred to me that somebody would do that.
Well, it's hard to trust people from out overseas. If you hire overseas, you don't get, from my experience, you don't get quality content. Like I said, you need to keep up with the search engines every day, which I do, from daily newsletters. There's websites out there that I've joined to sign up for their newsletters, like Search Engine Journal, Search Engine Land, Search Engine Roundtable. I'm part of the SEMPO, that's the Search Engine Marketing Professional Organization that sends out newsletters to me. I'm also part of a lot of LinkedIn groups. So I spend about 2 hours a day reading about SEO because it changes so much. The algorithms change so much. With a lot of overseas, a lot of agencies, they have a standard guidebook that's outdated that they do a cookie cutter SEO technique, which is, you know, it's outdated. If they talk about off-page SEO with link building and they say anything about submitting your your site to the search engines, that's like a 10-year-old technique. Google, you don't have to submit your site to the search engines. Google automatically picks it up. If you set up Google Search Console, Google Analytics on your site, Google's going to pick up your site. If they talk about article submission or classified ads as a form of backlinking, you know they're outdated, that the agency is outdated. Also with my experience with agencies, because I worked for one a long time ago, it's basically the stepping stone to in-house SEO, because with agencies that hire people right out of college, or they have 1 to 2 years experience, they pay them like $12 to $15 an hour, and they go there to get their experience. And once they get 1 to 2 to 3 years experience, then they go apply for an in-house position, which pays double the amount of what they were making, double or more what they're making. So really agencies, the people working on your site, are beginner SEO people that follow a standard manual.
That is great insight. How can our listeners find out more about what you offer, Rex?
I have a website, fustagroup.com, F-U-S-T-A group.com. I came up with the name because it stands for Full Steam Ahead Marketing. Because I like to, you know, I'm very passionate about SEO and digital marketing. I received my MBA in digital marketing in May of this year. And I'm always learning new things. I'm always getting certifications, like with Google Analytics, Google AdWords, SEMrush, Moz. I'm always learning something new every day, not only from my newsletter readings, but I'm always certifying and recertifying. So fustagroup.com is a way to come to my website or to see what I do. It shows my services, and there's more information on my website.
And just for the sake of our listeners, again, can you spell the name of your website for us?
Sure. It's Fusta, F as in Frank, U-S-T-A, group.com, fustagroup.com.
Okay, F-U-S-T-A-G-R-O-U-P.com. Perfect. Thank you so much, Rex, for being on the show. I appreciate you sharing your expertise with our listeners.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
And this has been Pat Iyer and Rex Camposogrado from fustagroup.com talking about search engine optimization. It is a term that is really important for you when you own a website and you're thinking in terms of how to attract the types of attorneys to your business that you want to work with, by making sure that you've got those terms built into your website in the ways that Rex has been describing, in terms of on your pages, in your image names, in your alt tags, in your meta descriptions. You can bring more visitors who are looking for your services, and that means more income from you, for you. This has been Pat Iyer talking with you through Legal Nurse Podcast. You can get more information about Rex and to be able to see more about our services at podcast.legalnursebusiness.com. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to go to our free online training called Blogging for Biz. You'll get immediate access to our training and valuable tips for creating blogs for your website. Get the link for the training at the show notes at podcast.legalnursebusiness.com. And I've got a phenomenal resource for you just waiting on legalnursebusiness.com. My online training and books are designed to help LNCs discover ways to strengthen their skills and their businesses. Check them out at legalnursebusiness.com. Many of us are lifelong learners who enjoy the chance to keep expanding our knowledge, just like the Book of the Month clubs, my membership site, lnceu.com, gives you 2 online trainings every month. We have a yearly payment plan that saves you over $50 compared to paying monthly, and each program is hugely discounted. Look at the options at lncu.com. And my last website, the lncacademy.com, is the coaching program I offer to a select number of LNCs. You get my personal attention and mentorship so that you can excel and build a strong foundation for your LNC practice. Get all the details at lncacademy.com.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Check out Pat Iyer's resources for legal nurse consultants on legalnursebusiness.com. Pat coaches legal nurse consultants so they make more money, get more clients, and avoid expensive mistakes. Check out her coaching program at lncacademy.com. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave a review on iTunes. We always are interested in your ideas for new topics. Please leave a comment on legalnursepodcasts.com. Join our community and get notified of each new episode and receive the transcript of today's program. Complete the request form on legalnursepodcasts.com. We appreciate you and your interest.